You're welcome. Wow, that's a lot of baggage. Are you checking in all of that baggage with us today?
Yeah.
You would like it to fly with you to each and every single destination?
Yeah, that's bringing it with me.
I'm going to need you to weigh all of that baggage on the scale here, please, for us.
There we go.
Your baggage is heavy.
Oh.
Wow, it appears even your baggage has its own baggage. So in our tier system for baggage pricing, yours is marked as excessive, which means that your checked-in baggage comes to a total of $150 in the addition to the $25 travel fee, and the carry-on that you're taking will be an additional $75, not to mention the overages, bringing your grand total to $525.78 with us. How will you be paying?
Debit, I guess. Okay. Sure.
Is there anything else we can do today to make your experience more accommodating or comfortable for you and or all of your baggage?
No. Just please take my baggage. Welcome. It's good to see you guys today. I want to say hi to all of our campuses joining in today. Super excited. Man, I hope you are ready to do some work this weekend. Anybody got some relational baggage? Raise your hands, okay? If your hand is not up, that means you have heavy bags. That's why you can't raise your hands. We all have relational baggage, man. You know, I've been watching my girl, so call me old-fashioned or whatever, but Tammy and I decided that you cannot date until you're 18, okay? You cannot date until you're 18. Some are like, that's crazy, that's cruel and unusual punishment, whatever. That was the decision. And I told my girls, I said, it's not that you're not ready. Is that I'm not ready. And I don't want to kill anybody and be on the news. So I said, you're not able to date. And so when they turned 18, I said, okay, girls, you know, you got to put the vibe out there. You got to get ready, you know, because now it's time. And so we transitioned. And so they started dating. And all of a sudden, man, all this hurt, all this worry, all this stuff that I forgot became rushing right back into me, right? Because it's hard to put your heart out there. I mean, it's hard. Anybody ever date a serial killer and they just stab your heart 1,000 times? I mean, I've had that, you know. I mean, I didn't realize my first girlfriend's name was Vladimir Putin. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know, right? And so you're just so scared. The reality is, man, if you've dated ever, you got relational baggage. If you've never dated, you got some relational baggage. Listen to this. I didn't know how much baggage I had until I had kids. And then you start to realize some of that brokenness that's in you, man, it starts to come out. Then you get married, right? Well, I got that reverse, right? You're supposed to get married, then have kids. But, you know, wait, hey, a lot of us got a lot of baggage, right? So that's where we are. But we all have baggage. Some of us have it with our kids. Do you know that's why Sigmund Freud rejected the idea of God? He said, I don't believe in God because that's just all of your baggage. You worship the Father you wish you had. And so he rejected that. Man, isn't that amazing? Our brokenness affects us everywhere we go. We're all carrying relational baggage. Some of you guys, man, I mean, you got more baggage than the dude in the video. Your bags have bags, and your bags have bags. And that is so sad. And here's my prayer for you today. My prayer for you today is that you would release your bags. And here's why. I want you to write this down in your notes. And we're going to refer a lot to that sheet of paper that you have here today. Because that sheet of paper is going to help you to lighten your load if you just will do some things I ask you to do. Here's why we need to talk about this. Because my baggage travels with me. It travels with me. No matter where you go, no matter what you're doing, there's something that could have happened to you as a child that affects you as a senior adult. It travels with you. And so one of the things that we got to do is we got to say, God, I want you to handle this relational baggage. Do you know this is the number one reason I find people won't go to church? Because they got hurt in church. And so because a person hurt them, they say no to God. They say no to God. And sometimes it's a pastor, sometimes it's a priest. And just because somebody has the uniform doesn't mean they're real. It doesn't mean that they represent God. And so my prayer for you today is that you would begin to trust God with your baggage, that you would begin to listen to God with that, and you would understand the thing that's keeping you from healing is that heavy bag you are lugging around with you everywhere you go. So let's pray together and ask God to give us strength and courage and to trust him with our baggage today. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, man, there are some of us who've been married for years, but we've got all kinds of baggage between us. Some of us today, Lord, are separate from our children because we've got baggage. Some of us haven't spoken to a mom or a dad, and Some of us can't because they've gone on to be with you because, and Lord, we've got baggage and we need to deal with that. So God, I just pray today that you would help us to deal with this baggage. Help us, Lord. Give us the courage, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We're gonna look at John chapter 4, verse 3-9. And I love this story. First point, number one, was my baggage travels with me. Relational baggage goes with you. So listen to me, it doesn't matter how many times you get divorced and moved on. If you don't deal with your baggage, you carry it with you to the next relationship. And so we need to learn to deal with this. We need to learn to process this. Oftentimes we judge the person we're with based upon the person we left or the person that left us. We hold them accountable because we can't hold the old person accountable. Your baggage is traveling with you. It's going with you. So in John chapter 4, verses 3-9, it says, Jesus left Judea and returned to Galilee. This is an interesting text here, and a lot of you have read this and you've flown right through this statement. This is a bizarre sentence that John writes. So here's Jesus going from the south to the north, like traveling, you know, maybe from Miami to New York. I mean, Israel's not nearly that big, but he's traveling down to up. And it says, underline these words, he had to go through Samaria on the way. I want you to write in your notes, no, he doesn't. Why? A, he's God, he doesn't have to do anything. B, there are multiple roads that lead from the south to the north. There are multiple paths. Most Jews never ever traveled this road because there was ethnic tension between Jews and Samaritans. This was the side of town or the side of the country that you didn't travel, right? This is the place that you didn't go, but John says he had to go there because there's something there for him to deal with. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village near Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. And underline this, Jesus was tired from the long walk. He's taking the long route. He's going somewhere that's unusual. He's going to a place that most Jews never go. And again, he had to go there. Why? Write this in your notes, because he's on a mission to help somebody deal with their relational baggage. And so here's Jesus. He's tired. It's been a hot day. It's been a long day. And he sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Now all of a sudden, we have two individuals sitting at a well when no one goes to get water. You get water in the morning and you get water at night. Why? Because it's hot and you have to carry water. Anybody ever had to carry water? It's not fun. It's one of the heaviest substances there is. So here it is, noontime, and here we have Jesus who's walked all day. He's all by himself, and the reason he's by himself is because he sent the disciples, get this, into a Samaritan village to find Jewish food. That's like landing in Dublin, Ireland, and saying, where do we get Mexican food? You know what they're gonna say? Brother, are you lost? Are you lost? So he sends the disciples into a Samaritan village to find Jewish food, to find kosher food. And here he is sitting at the well and he's waiting precisely at the moment for a woman who's gonna come all by herself. Ladies, you know this. You don't do anything by yourselves. I have to go to the restroom. Who would like to go? Oh, me. Guys, can you imagine if you were out to dinner and you said, hey, fellas, I gotta go to the restroom. Does anybody wanna come with me? You can have a lot less friends at the end of dinner. We just don't say that, right? We just don't do that. Ladies, you do things in packs. It's a herd mentality, right? Guys, we're dangerous when we're alone. Ladies are dangerous when they're together. It's true. It's just a fact, right? So here she is, she's all by herself. So you have to ask yourself, why is she by herself? Why is she at the well at noon? Here's why. She's got some baggage. Here's the thing about baggage is you can't compartmentalize it. Don't you wish you could? Don't you wish you could just have baggage with your mom? All my relationships are good, but me and mom, not good. So here's the problem with relational baggage. It spills. You see, your issues with your dad become your issues with your husband and they become your issues with your son. That's what happens. That's what happens with your baggage. It wrecks you. Guys, your issues with your mom become your issues with your wife, becomes issues with your daughter. It's baggage. It's baggage. We got to deal with it. So all of a sudden, here's a person who has so much relational baggage, she's all by herself. And there's only one person that was thinking about her. Listen to me, if you're all by yourself, I want you to know that God is thinking about you. Go all the way back to the text. He had to go this way. He had to go. He's on a mission to reach that person who thinks they're all alone. Isn't that sad? We have so much relational baggage. We don't have room in our life for people. So much mistrust. So much hurt. So much heartbreak. I want you to know that in this text, right, we have Samaritans and Jews who don't get along. There's racial tension. Do you know what the key to easing racial tension is? It's relationships. The reason America is growing farther apart is because we're closer with our TVs than we are each other. We're relationally broken as a country, and because of that, racism is rising. And so here's Jesus breaking through the literally the racial tension, the cultural tension, the political tension, and he goes right for it. And here's a gal who's been left by her own group. She's a Samaritan, but she's got no Samaritan friends. She's not with anybody. Right? So when she does a post on Facebook, she has to like her own. Well, that was really good. You ever done that on accident before anyone else likes it and it's embarrassing because everyone can see that you liked your own post? It's embarrassing, right? So here she is. She's all by herself. She's all alone. And here's Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at that time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, astonished, weirded out. Right, ladies? You're uncomfortable if a dude that you don't know approaches you. That's weird. What do you want? What do you need? I mean, you just don't like that. You don't like being approached by a guy you don't know. It's uncomfortable. So to say that she's surprised right in there, she's freaked out. He's tired, he's sweaty, he's weary, and she's what? Alone. One was surprised. For Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. And so she said to Jesus, she's going to give him a cultural reminder. You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? And we're going to find out later on in the story. Here's the thing. Jesus doesn't have a cup. Some of you have never noticed that. He doesn't have a cup. He doesn't have a rope. So what that means is not only is he going to ask her for water, but he's going to drink from her cup. He's doing something that no one would do. He's crossing racial barriers that no one sees. Why? Because he cares about her. He sees her. She matters to him. Here's the good news. Man, I got baggage. I got all kinds of baggage. I don't trust because I've been hurt and I've been lied to. Anybody been there with me? Oh, by Christians. By Christians. Anybody ever been lied to by a Christian? Anybody ever been betrayed by a Christian? Anybody ever been wounded and hurt by somebody that they said love? They love God? You know what Jesus says? Me too. Do you know who killed Jesus? The people who said they loved God the most couldn't wait to kill Jesus. So many people want to run away from church. Oh my gosh, I got hurt by people who claim to follow God. Jesus is like, me too, come back. Come back. Together maybe we can save those idiots. Come back. Here's the good news. Jesus cares more about me than my baggage. He cares more about me than my baggage. Some of you care more about your baggage than Jesus. You don't worship God, you worship your bags. And your bags are holding your back. Your bags are keeping you from an encounter with God. And you're tired, and you're cranky, and you're worn out, and you're burned out, and you're giving up on God and humanity and everything else. And Jesus is saying, well, let's talk. You know, I was growing up as a kid, they used to say, you need a quiet time. I think we need to say, I need some well time. I need to go to the well to get well. And here's the thing, is Jesus is already there. Remember, what did John say? He had to go there. Because every Jew that read these scriptures, what are they gonna ask? Why is Jesus going there? Why would he go there? That's not the proper route. That's not the way that Jews go. He had to go there because there was a woman there who needed him. Jesus cares more about me than my baggage. Listen to what Jesus replies. So the woman, and it doesn't come across in the English, but she's got a little attitude. She's a little snotty. She's not nice. Why? It's hot. It's in the middle of the day. She's got to get her water and go home. And here's this weird guy who maybe looks homeless who's asking for a drink. And Jesus said, if you only knew the gift that God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. He presses right back, right past her rudeness. Anybody, have you ever been nice to somebody until they're rude? You know, I was gonna act like a Christian, but now it's on. Right? I was gonna invite you to church, but now you can go to hell. Why is that funny? You've insulted me and therefore you are worth eternal damnation. Jesus pushes right past her attitude. Some of us can't even press past our kids' attitude, right? My nickname for my wife, we call her the queen of tone. You gotta watch your tone. I have to watch my tone. Have you noticed I'm passionate? Not only do I have to watch my tone, I have to watch my face. Do you know how hard that is? I have to watch my tone, I have to watch my face, I have to make sure I'm out of the room before I say whatever I want to say. Because my wife listens to what I say and watches my face. Jesus presses right past her tone, right past her facial expressions. Why do you want to drink from me? What do you want with me? Who are you to ask me? And Jesus said, if you only knew the gift that God has for you, listen to me, some of you are rejecting God because of your crap. God said, no, I want to help you with that. He says, if you only knew the gift that God has for you and who it is you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket. And the well is very deep. You know, this well still exists to this day. 2,000 years later, with all the sediment that's fallen into the well over 2,000 years of history, you know, it's still 75 feet deep. She says, and besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? And Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon be thirsty again. Listen to me, some of you are looking for relational satisfaction in best friends. My wife always says that, are you my best friend? I go, don't put that voodoo on me. Seriously, we have like this ongoing tension in our household. I say, you're my best female friend. She doesn't like that answer. Right? But listen to me. Jesus, some of us, right? Oh, I gotta have another friend. I don't have enough good friends. And we're running to all these things. We're running for, I can't be single. I gotta be married. Oh crap, I'm married. I gotta get married to someone else. Oh, I gotta have a kid. I gotta have 2 kids. I gotta have 10 kids. I gotta have 1,000 kids. Why do I have kids? I need to run off by myself. And we're running to all this water and we're never, ever satisfied. Some of you are just so certain, right? If I could just get 100 likes on this post, then I'll be happy. It's not living water. If I can just take this perfect picture with me and my Bible and my coffee and my friends, right? Then people will like me. Man, if I just have enough followers, man, we're all chasing filthy water. If people just like me on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is, then I'll be satisfied. Jesus says that's rotten water. He says, I'm offering you something that lasts more than a like. I'm offering something that lasts forever. Isn't it sad how many times we go back to the well that doesn't work? Some of you, time and time again, you go back to water that doesn't satisfy. You run back to things that you know rot your soul. And Jesus is saying, stop going to the well. It doesn't work. Come to me. I have a different kind of water. He says, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water that I give will never be thirsty again. Right in your notes, he's talking about being satisfied. One of my favorite actors from the 90s is Jim Carrey. A, because people say I kind of look like him, which is not a compliment. But B, because I think he's hilarious. This is what he said recently. He said, my wish for the world is that everyone would get everything they always wanted so that they would know what I know, that it doesn't satisfy. When Jim Carrey first started acting, I remember this. You know, he wrote himself a $20 million check? He wrote it to himself. Do you know that he was able to cash that check? But he's a disaster. Why? He went for a well that does not satisfy. It doesn't. It doesn't work. He said, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes fresh. It's a bubbling spring. Circle this word, within. You see, we keep shuffling the deck thinking if I just move these things around outside of me, I'll be happy inside of me. And what Jesus is saying is it's not your outward world that needs to change, it's your inward world. That's where the problem is. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. She says, please, sir, the woman said, give me this water, right? Give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again and I won't have to come to this stupid well by myself. Right, and this is the gospel that I hear all over TV, all over the internet. Come to Jesus, you'll never have a problem again. You don't have to work, you don't have to think. Right? You just sit there and Jesus is going to bless you. It's like, oh my gosh. Jesus isn't talking about the water. He's talking about her soul. He's not talking about simply changing her life. He's talking about eternal life. Write this down. Jesus wants to help me with my baggage. What are the bags that Jesus wants to help you with today? What would happen if you and Jesus sat alone at a well and you just talked? What is it that Jesus is gonna poke that you don't want poked? You know what it is? Here's what it is, write in your notes. It's what you're never gonna share at small group or community group, but you need to share. It's what you never want to tell your spouse. But if you did, it would be the beginning of intimacy with your spouse. Maybe it's what you hope to hide from your kids until you die. Isn't that fun, talking to your kids about your baggage? That's been great for me and Tammy. So, Mom, Dad, tell us about you and how you dated. Baggage! And the whole time while I'm sharing, I have to look and look at the wife to make sure that everything is approved. So that, right, I don't get hit with baggage later. Jesus wants to help me with my baggage. That's what Jesus says. So we've been chatting. We've been having this great conversation. Everything's great. It's great, 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 great. Okay. For us to move forward and for me to close the deal and sell you this water, here's what I need you to do. I need you to go home and get your husband, which, just so you know, is culturally appropriate, because it's culturally inappropriate for a man to talk to a woman, especially if this man is a religious person. He's a rabbi. He's a teacher. He's respected. Right? And as a religious person, you have to fulfill certain norms. Right? You do things differently. You feel pressures that nobody feels. So Jesus says, okay, if we're going to continue this conversation, if we're going to talk about the living water, here's what I need you to do. I need you to go and get your husband so we can continue this conversation. And the woman's like, well, I'm kind of single. You know, her Facebook status would have said, confusing. She said, I don't have a husband, the woman replied. And here's the thing about Jesus, just write in your notes, save yourself a lot of time. Don't try to lie to God. Don't do it. We were having an issue with one of my kids, and I'm not gonna say who, because it's costing me a lot of money. So we have this deal with our kids. Every time I talk about them, I have to pay them 10 bucks, and I'm broke. So it was one of them. And it was late. And we knew our child was not being honest. And I just got on my knees and I said, for the love of Jesus and all that is holy, please just tell your mother the truth so we can all go to bed. She knows. She knows you're lying. I know you're lying. I don't care, but she cares. Just for the love of God, do you want me to have to beat you? What needs to take place for you to tell the truth? Just say it. You ever had your kids lie to you?
I don't know. I have no idea who ate that cookie or why there's chocolate on the side of my face. I have no idea.
That's how we are with God. Isn't that sad that we lie to God every week at worship? Every week. He says, go and get your husband. She says, I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband, for you've had five husbands. There's a go-getter. And you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. Oh. Man, Jesus says, you certainly spoke the truth. Whoa. Listen to me. He's not trying to insult her. He's trying to save her. He's trying to help her with her bags. Isn't it sad that many of us don't believe we need help with our bags? Sometimes people criticize my preaching. They say, well, it's just self-help stuff. Yeah, you need help. Have you read the Bible? We need help. And many of us are lugging around bags we can't carry. We can't afford. It's affecting us every single day. Jesus says, let me hold your bags. Let me hold your bags. Let me just share with you what I've learned. Here's how I think Jesus wants to help you with your bags. I think he wants to teach you how to ask the right question. Here's the wrong question with your baggage. Why, God, did this happen to me? Do you know why you ask why, God? Because it puts it all on him and not on you. Well, I just don't understand why God did this. Man, I don't either. Stop asking why and start asking this little word, what? Listen to me, you change your question, you'll change your life. Start changing your questions with God and ye will change your life. Just change this from why to what? I don't know why. I don't know. God is not in heaven. Let's talk with Pastor Matt about what we should do. What do you think, Jesus? Jesus is like, no, that guy's an idiot. It hurts my feelings, those who laughed. It's okay, it's too late. All right. Don't ask why, ask what. Ask this. What does Jesus see in me? Here's what I believe this woman's gonna be tempted to ask. Why do men always leave? Why do they always leave? Years ago, when I still did counseling at Sandals, I'm banned from that now. But I was meeting with a woman in our church whose husband had left her, Christian husband, which always helps. And she said this, why do men always leave? I said, I haven't left you. She said, you don't count. You're a pastor. Do you know how many times people have told me? It's so insulting. You're not a man. That's what she said. She said, why do men always leave? Better question. What does Jesus see in me? John 4:27, the story continues. Jesus is talking with this woman. It's awkward. It's weird. Then his disciples came back and they were shocked to find him talking to a woman. I love this. Some of you don't believe the Bible. Oh, it's just made up. There's just stuff in there that you just can't make up. But none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Why are you talking to her? Right? She's not dressed right. She doesn't look right. Jesus, I think, right? She's maybe not the best for you to rally around for your ministry. We're hoping for a presidential run next year, and I think maybe this could negatively affect the poll turnout, you know, in Samaria. Ask yourself this question, what does Jesus see in me? We can talk all day long about men and their stupidity and how they don't stay, how they don't last, how they make commitments, right? We live in a culture that is just literally inundated with men who don't fulfill their vows. Why? Here's the question. What does Jesus see in me? Listen to me, ladies. He sees something in you the disciples don't. Jesus sees what no man can see. He sees a lost daughter. Here's the thing that's been so hard for me, watching my girls date. It's been so hard. I am not a perfect father. I tell them first 10 years of counseling's on me. But here's the thing. I don't want them to be hurt. I don't want them to be lied to. I want them to be loved. I want them to be loved. Listen to me, ladies. I want them to be loved in the way that I love them. And you know what that means? I would die for them. The moment I held them, the moment I gave my life for you, and you just pooped on me, but I'd still die for you. Man, My heart breaks for the women in our culture. You are constantly demeaned. You are constantly undervalued. You are judged and ridiculed, sometimes by women even more than men. Listen to me, you're a daughter of the King. And he sees in you what no one sees. He loves you and he cares for you. And here's what I want you to hear. This is what Jesus says. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Even if heaven and hell pass away, Jesus says, you're still my girl. And my prayer is that you would know that and believe that. Listen to me. If you want to get right, if you want to get right relationally with a guy or a gal, get right with God. Because until you're right with God, you will never be right with anybody else. Our culture is the most relationally stupid culture in the history of the world. I was listening to this song the other day in the car. I'm rocking out, and it's a cool beat, and here's the lyrics. The club is no place to find love, so the bar is where I go. This is a love poet. He's a love poet. He's espousing how to find love. The club is no place to find love. Yeah, I'm with you, so the bar is where I go. No! No! Listen to me. Try Jesus. Try Jesus because he loves you and he will die for you because he did over and over and over again. What does Jesus see in me? Next, what does Jesus want me to learn? You've heard me say this over and over again. If you've been divorced 5 times, you have a broken picker. I just don't know why God's doing this. I do. You have a broken picker. You're a terrible picker. Let me pick. I have a better picker than you. Seriously. Some of you guys are like, oh, arranged marriages. That's so much better than American marriages. Right? You've heard me say it, gals. If you've been at sales, you heard me say it. The second you are attracted to a guy, your IQ drops in half. And most of you cannot afford that drop. Don't laugh, guys, because when you get attracted, you do not have an IQ.
You're just like, I just feel like this is God's will. No, it's not the Lord. Okay, you're feeling. That is, yeah, no.
What does Jesus want me to learn? Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming. Don't you love how he addresses her? Dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter where you worship the Father, on this mountain or in Jerusalem. I love this line. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship. The size of our relational baggage is directly proportional to our understanding of God. The more we know about God, the smaller our bags get. He says, you Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him. He says, for salvation comes to the Jews. If you didn't know that, we worship a Jew. But the time is coming and is indeed here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. Now, there's only 4 times in Scripture, only 4 times in the Christian Bible, when literally in the Christian Bible, it says these words, God is. There's only 4 times. And the first person to hear one of these sentences, God is light. God is love. One of the 4 times in Scripture where the Bible simply says, this is what God is. A woman who's been married 5 times, who has more relational baggage than many of us could carry to the parking lot, she hears it. God is spirit. Ladies, why on earth would Jesus say that to a woman? Here's what I think Jesus is saying. God is not a man. Stop worshiping them. Stop it. You don't need a man, you need God. You don't need kids, you need God. You don't need a marriage, you need God. Right? That's what we need. That's what he's saying. What does he want me to learn? I need God. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And the woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called the Christ. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Everywhere else. Listen to me. Some of you have been hurt, divorced, broken, literally laid aside by everyone. You think nobody cares about you. Jesus, every time he does a miracle, he says, shut up. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. Don't tell anybody. He finds this woman at the well, and he says, I'm him. I'm what you're waiting for. I'm what you've longed for. I'm everything the Bible predicted. It's me. Everywhere else in Scripture, he says, don't tell, be quiet, stop it. Here, because of her brokenness, he wants to be crystal clear. It's me. Next, don't ask why, ask what is Jesus calling me to do? The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village. Circle these words, telling everyone, a woman who can't find a girlfriend to go to the well now wants to meet everybody in town. Goes back to the village and says, come and see the man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? And so the people came, underline these words, streaming from the village to see him. Do you know why Sandals Church grows? Because you tell your friends, come and see what Jesus did in my life. That's why it grows. That's why it grows. When you tell your friends, your family members, your coworkers, the people that you encounter, when you share with them what Jesus has done from you, you just say, hey, he changed my life. Maybe he can change yours. That's what she's saying. Come and see. What is Jesus calling me to do? Number one, first and foremost, write this down. I got to release my past. I know it hurts. I know. You gotta let it go. You're gonna have all eternity to talk to God about why. Now what you need to do is you need to let it go. You gotta let it go. And for some of you, that's only gonna happen in counseling. For some of you, it can happen in community group. And for some of you, it can happen right here today at the end of service. You just say, here you go. Here you go. My wife and I went to counseling 2 years ago because she needed help. I really believed that. I was like, yeah, of course I'll go to counseling with you because I'm a Christ-like example of his love and his grace and his mercy. So we went to these counselors. It was a lot of money, and so I was hoping Tammy would get everything out of it that we'd paid for. So by the end of the first day in counseling, you know, as Tammy's pouring out her heart, and my wife's had a lot of relational just baggage in her life, the counselors kept asking me. It was strange. You know, we were all there for her. They just kept asking me, well, how does that make you feel? How does that make you feel? How does that make? And I'm like, why are we asking me the questions when she is the problem? Day two of counseling. This is how dense your leader is. Day two of counseling, hour 12. There's a little moisture on the side of my eye, and I didn't know what that was. I didn't know if there was, I was allergic to something in the room. And so we broke for lunch. I ordered a salad. I didn't eat one piece of my salad. And I wept. As because God began to bring up in me some things I'd been holding on to that I needed to let go. You got to release your past. And guys, let's be honest, it's harder for us. It is.
Me macho. I'm a man, I do not cry. I kill tears. This is where tears come to die.
I gotta release my past. Listen to me, if you don't release your past, you'll relive it. Marriage after marriage after marriage after marriage. And then your life will be a nightmare and it will never be the dream that God had for you. You have to release your past and then just work with me here. Reimagine my future. It's not about your dreams. It's about God's dreams. Let me just ask you this question. Are you living right now God's dream for your life? Let's be honest. A good friend is almost impossible to find. Man, if you have a healthy marriage, you're blessed. If you like your children, it's a miracle. If your children like you, you won the relational lottery. That's how broken this world is. We're all hurting. We're all a mess. That's why Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and broken, and I will give you rest." He said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens." Jesus says, stop carrying those bags. Stop. 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 And I'll give you rest. I'm going to give you some water that's going to refresh your soul. You don't need another relationship with anyone. You need a relationship with God. You need to go deeper with God. You need to press into Him because God sent His Son to press into you, and your life can change. It can really change if you choose Him over everyone else and everything else, because He chose you even at the cost of His Son. "Come to me," Jesus said, "all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." Listen to me, Jesus has a smaller bag. It's carry-on. You can take it wherever you go. He says, "Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart." In my last community group, before the one that I'm in now, there was a woman I was in community group with for 3 years. Her dad abused her and religiously molested her. She's broken. Some things in this life will never be made right. She brought her son to small group. I'll never forget it. She said, "This is Pastor Matt, and he's safe." It made me cry. Listen to me, I know some of you. You've gone through hell that I don't even have a category for. I just want you to know that I'm only safe because I met the one who is safe. He invented safe. His name is Jesus. And listen to me, you're at church today, or you're watching online now at this moment, because Jesus had an appointment for you 2,000 years ago, and He said, "I gotta go there. I gotta go." And He went straight to Samaria, straight to the well, straight at high noon to meet a woman who was relationally broken. He says, "Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus is calling. He's inviting you to find rest for your souls. But you have to get up at the end of service and meet Him at the well. Amen? Amen. Meet Him at the well. He has some water for you, and it's better than anything you could ever ask for or imagine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank You so much that You're a great God. God, that You're a God that's not intimidated by our baggage, our brokenness, our hurt, Lord, our mess. Lord, I pray that we would run to you. I pray that we would come to you, bags and all. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.